You are listening to Pastor Talk.
The only way we could possibly reach millions of people is to have hundreds of thousands of Christians having millions of gospel conversations in South Florida. And conversation is a great word because we all have, you know, statistics tell us everybody has between 20 and 30 meaningful conversations every single day. And if we could learn to transition those conversations into gospel conversations, boy, we could then begin to move the needle on lostness in our region.
Welcome to Pastor Talk, the podcast of Lifeway Pastors, giving you the tools and encouragement you need to shepherd your flock well. I'm your host, Marty Duren. My guest today on Pastor Talk is Jimmy Scroggins. Jimmy is the lead pastor of Family Church in West Palm Beach, Florida. He's married to Kristen. They have 8 children. Jimmy's PhD is from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He's dedicated to building families in South Florida through a network of neighborhood churches. His book is Turning Everyday Conversations into Gospel Conversations, co-written with Steve Wright and Leslie Bennett. And I'm really glad to have Jimmy on the program today. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Pastor Talk. This is Marty Duren, and I am really happy to have Jimmy Scroggins on today. Jimmy, what is going on in Florida?
Oh, man. You know, this time of year, the weather is awesome most of the day, but it rains every single day. So, it's actually, I'm looking out the window. It's raining right now. But it's a beautiful place to live, and it is a great place to do ministry.
That is fantastic. So, this is the second time that I've interviewed you for Lifeway Pastors, but the first time that we've done this for the podcast. So, why don't you kind of catch everybody up on who you are and how you got to Florida and just a little short bio kind of thing?
Yeah, sure. I've been the pastor at Family Church in West Palm Beach, Florida, since 2008. So I'm in my 10th year. Hard to believe. My wife, Kristen, and I have been married 23 years. We have 8 children, 6 boys and 2 girls. Before I came to Family Church, I was a teaching pastor at Highview Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky. I also served as the dean at Boyce College in Louisville at Southern Seminary. And honestly, I'm a Florida native. My wife's a Florida native. So when we got to come back to Florida, we felt like we're coming home. This is our mission field. This is where we're planting our life. And it is it's a lot of fun. But it's, you know, in some ways it's really difficult because there's just so many far from God people here. And even when you reach them for Christ, they just bring a lot. They bring a lot with them when they come into the family of Jesus. And I don't know, we just love doing what we're doing. We love doing it where we're doing it. And our entire family is committed to building the kingdom of Jesus here in South Florida.
That's awesome. You've written a book recently. I don't know all of your authorial history, but you've recently written a book called Turning Everyday Conversations into Gospel Conversations. And I don't know whether you kind of semi-coined the term gospel conversations, but I know that my own pastor started using it pretty frequently after he met you at some, I think it was an ERLC event a year or so ago, and he started to use the term gospel conversations. So before we get into the content of the book, talk a little bit about why you use that phrase as opposed to sharing the gospel or telling people about Jesus or witnessing or something like that.
Yeah, it's funny. That is a great phrase, and I don't know if we coined it or not. I'm the our church and in our environment here, we're the first ones that I was ever aware of using the phrase. But I'm glad that it's gotten into kind of the evangelical lexicon right now because that phrase describes what we need to happen not one time or two times in a church family, but millions and hundreds of millions of times around the world. Mm-hmm. You know, Marty, if you think about the need of the world, 6 or 7 billion people, with literally billions of people who are not believers in Jesus, the only way we're going to reach billions of people with the gospel, which is the Great Commission, you know, mandate, the only way we can reach billions of people is to have hundreds of millions of Christians having billions of gospel conversations all the time. That's the only way it can happen. It's not going to happen by, you know, more satellite television. It's not going to happen by getting a few people to come to one more service we added at our mega church. It's only going to happen if hundreds of millions of Christians get engaged. And even in our mission field down here in South Florida, there's 7 million people living in the Miami Metroplex, of which we are a part. And these 7 million people, you know, millions of those people are far from God and do not know Christ. Well, the only reason we're going to, the only way we could possibly reach millions of people is to have hundreds of thousands of Christians having millions of gospel conversations in South Florida. And conversation is a great word because we all have, you know, statistics tell us everybody has between 20 and 30 meaningful conversations every single day. And if we could learn to transition those conversations into gospel conversations, boy, we could then begin to move the needle on lostness in our region.
Now, your book starts, and I'm just going to read the opening paragraph from chapter one. When we were growing up, the church had a strategy and it worked for a season. We believed in the church version of Field of Dreams. If we build it, they will come. We built bigger buildings and provided more and better programming. We attracted people to our churches and many of them came. Now, it's really common for that to be a critique of the mega church. But, you know, when you get right down to it, a lot of churches, whether they have 50 in attendance or whether they have 5,000 in attendance, are either intentionally or inadvertently attractional churches because what they do is they have something that takes place on Sunday morning and they just expect people to show up at it and they don't have a bridge into the community. It sounds like to me you're trying to build that bridge or help others build that bridge so it doesn't depend on the Sunday morning deal.
Yeah, and look, all of us are trying to be attractional in our churches. It is a critique of the mega church, I guess, but I'm a pastor of a mega church. We have between 4,000 and 5,000 people every Sunday. So I'm not opposed to megachurches. I'm a product. I was called to ministry in a megachurch.
So I'm not supposed to spend the next 5 minutes criticizing you about that?
No, okay. I don't want to hear it. but Marty, I will say this. I do believe, you know, many people have bought into the invest and invite strategy as their primary evangelistic strategy. Have your people invest in relationships, then invite them to come to church where they can hear the gospel. I think that is a great strategy, and I think we should keep doing that. Mm-hmm. I just don't think we're actually going to reach billions of people with that as our primary strategy. I think that is a part of a strategy. I think while we're investing and inviting, part of the investing needs to be training and motivating our people, equipping them, and motivating them to transition these everyday conversations into gospel conversations. I just don't think... if we leave, you know, I like to talk about pros and Joes. And so if we say, hey, it's up to the pros to win everybody to Christ, all of you Joes just go out there and kind of invite people to our deal. Mm-hmm. We're going to put on some, you know, unbelievable show down at our auditorium every weekend. And then all of you Joes, you just get the other Joes to come to us and let the pros do what mm-hmm. we do. I don't think that is the answer. And frankly, I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind before he ascended to heaven when he issued the Great Commission.
So walk through a little bit. I know that you have developed a method that's commonly called the three circles. And, you know, When I was growing up, I went through Evangelism Explosion. I went through Continuing Witness Training. I think our church did something with the net that was, you know, developed, I think, by the North American Mission Board. And there's no lack of tools. You use the term simple, reproducible gospeling tools in the book. So there's no lack of tools, some more simple than others. But you kind of boiled it down into a three circles idea. Talk a little bit about how that came to be and what you mean by it.
Yeah, Marty, so funny because we never set out to create a tool. What happened to me, I grew up in the Bible Belt. I was pastoring Bible Belt churches my entire life. That's where I'm comfortable. And when I moved to South Florida, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to South Florida, Marty, or spent a lot of time, but South Florida is like a different thing. It's what I call below the Bible Belt. Mm-hmm. So don't take that too far, but it is different. And so when I came here and I began to interact with people in our community and even people who are visiting our church, I realized very quickly that the people that I was interacting with, the people that were coming to my church, did not know any Bible stories. They did not know any Bible verses. They did not have any theological presuppositions or commitments. And I quickly realized that I'm like you, Marty. I've been trained in all of that stuff. EE, the four spiritual laws. I can draw the bridge illustration. I've marked the Romans road in my Bible. I know how to do faith, you know, all of that. But at the end of the day, most of those require the person you're talking to have some theological presuppositions. For instance, EE diagnostic questions, you know, if you died tonight, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of presumes some things about the person, doesn't it?
Yep.
You know, and it presumes that they think there is a heaven and that they want to go there mm-hmm. and that they have a fear of the afterlife. Well, as I've come to talk to far from God people who haven't been raised in church and they're irreligious, they do not fear. They don't even think about the afterlife.
Yep.
That is not, you're asking them a question that's not a category that they're thinking about. And so, you know, to me, we had to come up with some tools and a way of explaining the gospel that didn't require a lot of prior Bible knowledge. So what I was thinking about was kind of the whole worldview idea, the whole idea of the meta-narrative, and how can we incorporate something like the meta-narrative, and how can we incorporate and personalize it so that we deal with people's actual issues. And what I discovered is in these everyday conversations I was having, what kept coming up was the brokenness of people. So even people that didn't know me well or didn't even know I was a pastor, they would begin to share with me a little part of the brokenness of their life. Just something as simple, Marty, as I go get on an airplane and a lady sit down next to me and just kind of put her head in her hands. And I'd say, ma'am, are you all right? And she'd say, you know, well, it's my daughter. And boy, do you have a daughter? Well, yeah, I've got a couple of daughters. And we began to share. Well, she began to share with me, not even knowing me, some of the brokenness of her life.
So rather than trying to manufacture a conversation that got you to some gospel thing, you're using existing conversations to get there.
Exactly. And that is the key, because actually they're the ones inviting me into the conversation, because they're the ones who start sharing the brokenness. And when you get tuned into that and start listening for it, you realize that in the line at the grocery store, your neighbor across the street, these people constantly share with you their brokenness. They're frustrated with their spouse. They're frustrated with their job. They're battling addiction. They're depressed. People share little comments with you that tell you about this all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, if we would be attuned to that, then we can learn to turn everyday conversations that are actually initiated by these other people into gospel conversations. And the way we developed the three circles, Marty, was just trying to help people, help share a way of sharing the gospel with people who didn't know Bible verses or Bible stories. So we did it with circles, and the key to the whole thing is the brokenness idea, and it's always initiated by the person I'm sharing with.
That's awesome. Now, so from brokenness, kind of walk us through the rest.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, if you said, look, if I'm talking to my neighbor and he goes, golly, my wife is a, you know, and calls her a name, and I go, you know, and I go, yeah.
That ain't never going to happen in real life.
Yeah, never. So I say, well, listen, man, I've been married 23 years, and man, I certainly know what it feels like to be frustrated with your marriage, because it just doesn't always go, you know, as smoothly as I'd like. But, and I always have a transition statement. I say, look, I have learned something that's helped me to think about my marriage in a better way,
mm-hmm.
and I'd love to share that with you. Well, I'm doing a transition statement. I'm prepared for it. So when the guy starts sharing, whether it's about money, brokenness, you know, personal issues, whatever, I'm ready with a transition statement. Hey, I've had similar struggles, but I've learned something that's helped me think about those struggles in a better way. And then I asked if I could share it with them. And the cool thing about that is I'm not saying that they have to agree with me. I'm not saying that what helped me think about it in a better way is going to help them, but they're often wide open to it. And so then I can begin to share them, and I say, look, I've come to believe that God has a design for my life, and that God cares about me. He loves me. He made me. He has a design for my marriage, and he has a way that he wants my marriage to run. And the way that God designed my marriage, he wants my wife to be happy. He wants me to be happy. He wants to be committed to each other, and he wants us to really succeed together. And that's God's design. And so then I begin to talk to them about, hey, but the problem is sometimes I depart from God's design. And I have inside of me my own set of desires and my own, you know, hopes of doing things better, faster, stronger, more satisfying. And I depart from God's design. Well, when I depart from God's design, the Bible calls that sin. And then I get to the brokenness. Say, what you were just sharing with me, how you feel about your wife, that's what it feels like when you're in brokenness. And then I begin to say, brokenness feels terrible, but actually it's good because it tells you that something needs to change.
See, I like this.
And you probably already.
Yeah. I like this because there's it's kind of based on shared experiences rather than a list of theological facts that they might or might not agree with. So you don't start off with a red flag in their mind, like, oh my gosh, this guy's fixing to start preaching to me. You start off with, we're on the same journey, sort of, and this is what I've learned that might be of benefit to you.
Yeah, and I'm very careful when I talk about even God's design. I say, I've come to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not telling you have to believe. I'm telling you what I've come to mm-hmm. believe. And then when you talk about brokenness and the need for change, what's awesome, Marty, is you can say, look, when you know you need to change, well, you've tried to change before, but it hasn't worked, has it? Obviously not, because he just called his wife when he just called her. And so I'm like, hey, man, if you were going to change your marriage yourself, you'd have already changed it a long time ago. But you can't. And the change that you really need really comes from somewhere outside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come to believe that it's what we call the gospel. And I explained the gospel of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I explained, hey, the Bible has a word for change, and the word in the Bible for change is repent. And what we really need to do is stop pointing the finger at our wife or at our dad or somebody else and look inside and realize we need to repent. We need something to change us on the inside. We need to believe the story of Jesus. And when we come to repent and believe the story of Jesus, then God sends Jesus to come into our lives, and he forgives us of our sins, and he begins to heal the broken places in our lives and lets us recover and pursue God's design. And so you begin to share this with people, and it's amazing. The thing that grabs them is the shared experience of brokenness, because they may not theologically have a category for something like sin or repentance. They may not really be familiar with the gospel, but trust me, everybody's familiar with brokenness because everybody experiences it.
Now, I don't want our listeners to get the idea that this is just a book about how to talk to somebody on an airplane, because it's actually bigger than that. Even though it's a small book, it's bigger than that single concept. One of the things that caught my eye as I was, and I haven't read the whole book yet, so I want to be open about that, but one of the things that caught my eye is early on in the book where you're talking about mission fields, and you use the illustration from China, Southeast Asia, India, and Africa about emerging movements and church multiplication type movements. And a couple of the things that I wanted to get you to talk about, if you could, are the rapid obedience and frequent intentional training, and then multiplying churches. How do gospel conversations feed into or flow out of frequent training, rapid obedience, multiplying churches?
Well, Steve Wright and Leslie Bennett, who helped write the book, Steve and Leslie, we all did this together, and Steve and Leslie have done extensive research on church planting movements and evangelistic movements around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we began to look into these things, we said, look, where is God really moving in places that are full of far from God people? Where are new congregations starting? Where are people being saved rapidly and in large numbers? Well, it's in the places that you just mentioned. And so we began to look at those places. Well, what's happening there? And is there anything we can learn from what's happening there and import it here and start doing in the region where we live, what's happening over there? And so what we discovered is there's this idea of rapid obedience, multiplying gospel conversations. So our typical method of training somebody to be an evangelist is, as pastors, we go into our churches, and a couple times a year we preach sermons where we browbeat our people and try to make them feel really guilty about not sharing Christ, and we follow that up with a class where we're going to make them share Christ and train them in one of these tools that we have. Well, what it ends up being is the same four hardcore deacons that are evangelistic. They come to all those trainings, and they're always trying to witness to everybody. Everybody else kind of runs for the hills and feels guilty. The methods don't work that well for most people because they're not, their personality doesn't match up with it or whatever. And so it ends up, evangelism ends up being kind of an activity for, hardcore Green Beret type Christians. And we actually think if we can create tools that are simple, conversational, and experiential, but they're theologically grounded in the scriptures, we actually think we can call people to rapid obedience, so that instead of waiting for somebody to be in their third or fourth or tenth year as a Christian before they ever share Christ, what if we try to get people to share Christ the first day they become a Christian,
mm-hmm.
by giving them a tool they can actually understand and that they can actually use with the knowledge that they have? So rapid obedience and rapid multiplication. And then the other part of it is, Marty, a lot of people want to say they show people and teach people evangelistic tools, but the only way to get good at a tool is you've got to get reps. You've got to repeat the tool. You've got to practice the tool. And so I tell pastors all the time, call me and say, hey, man, I just taught my whole church to three circles on Sunday. And I think in my mind, you didn't really teach them the three circles. You showed them the three circles. If you want to teach them the three circles, you have to get in a training environment and actually give them reps so that they practice it so they can do it well.
That's awesome. I've been talking to Jimmy Scroggins. Jimmy is pastor at Family Church in West Palm Beach, Florida. His book is Turning Everyday Conversations into Gospel Conversations. And when I say it's not long and it's easy to read, I mean, it's 100 or so pages. I love the fact that you guys included text messages that come in from people who are living this. It's really, really encouraging. And you can pick it up. It's published by B&H. So a little shout out to our own publisher there. And is it out already, or are we still in pre-release?
No, it's already out. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it from B&H. You can get it wherever, your bookstores. But the thing of it is, Marty, what I want people to know about this book is this book will put an accessible tool in the hands of people who really want to share Christ. And our goal with this book is not really the goal of this book the goal of this book is to make the tools accessible. We just believe that every Christian has a responsibility and a great opportunity, because we all have 20 to 30 conversations every day. If we can turn those conversations into gospel conversations, we can begin to really make a dent in the lostness where we live.
That's fantastic. I've been talking to Jimmy Scroggins. Jimmy, thanks so much for being on Pastor Talk, and we look forward to the next time.
Thanks, Marty. Love being with you.
Pastor Talk is the podcast of Lifeway Pastors and is hosted by Marty Duran. That's me. Join us each week as I interview pastors, authors, professors, and others to help your ministry as you seek to shepherd your flock well. Until next time, this is Marty Duran.